I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. The city of Seattle is set to approve $300,000 in funding for trans refugees. Plus, as Seattle wastes its money on nonsense, the feds step in to help the city with police funding. And the infamous Olympus Spa case could be heading to SCOTUS. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. Just click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Speaking of common sense, let's just say you're a city with a massive budget crisis, right? And you're looking at all sorts of things that you want to cut. What would you not be doing if you had common sense? Well, you probably wouldn't be setting aside $300,000 for an imaginary trans refugee crisis. But alas, that's what the city of Seattle is prepared to make official today. Here is Alexis Mercedes Rink, a Seattle City Council member, when they approved this through committee last week, saying $300,000 is fine, but it's a good start.
This amendment responds to the ongoing crisis and displacement of queer, transgender, and gender nonconforming people that are seeking refuge from hostile jurisdictions from across the country. We've only heard the need for additional support grow as more people are coming to the Seattle area. Internal displacement of trans people is happening across the country due to anti-trans legislation sweeping state legislatures. In 2026, today, I checked the numbers, 813 bills are under consideration across the country that would negatively impact trans and gender nonconforming people. 62 pieces of legislation have passed this year alone. And that is in large part what is fueling the internal displacement of people and folks coming to our region. Now, as stated, this funding would be going towards emergency shelter, housing, food access, employment support, and other essential needs. And I've been affirmed by HSD that they are able to take on this contract. So while this is one-time funding, I recognize it is not enough to address the full need, but I believe this is a start and signals our commitment that the city of Seattle will remain a welcoming city to the queer and trans community.
Good Lord. I mean, how do you even respond to something that stupid? First of all, and we'll get into the details of it, they have no numbers to back this up. No numbers whatsoever. And they act as if this is the only population of people that needs a little bit of help. I mean, what about all the people fleeing your jurisdiction because you made it too difficult for them to do business here? Like, you could help them out, maybe prop them up, the businesses that are struggling. No, we got to do it for the trans community. So that was a video from last week when the City Council's Finance, Native Communities, and Tribal Governments Committee passed this out of committee. Now, they're going to decide today on whether to make that funding official. It was passed out of committee, and it'll go to the full council today. But over the last several weeks, there have been trans, non-binary individuals showing up at the City Council and testifying why they need this money.
I was misgendered for years at my old job before I was fired in retaliation for pushing back. I was the only person wearing a pronoun pin. Bigots don't want to see us contributing to the workplace. They want us pushed out and rotting on the sidewalk.
I'm here as a swarm of bees because trans people are pollinators of political issues.
I see so many trans refugees coming, working so hard. We're not looking for, like, you know, handouts or
yes,
support.
You are.
The
yes,
amount
you
of trans people here that are coming here with nothing to have nowhere to live. They're living in their cars. They're struggling every single day. They're the most vulnerable people on the entire country, like in the country right now, as far as no one caring.
Oh, Seattle is safer than other places in the U.S., but it should do much more to receive red state refugees with open arms. We should not harm the community further by continuing the sweeps or propping up Orwellian surveillance cameras on our street corners.
There are a lot of girls out there who you see missing posters for, and eventually you just start seeing less and less. And that's unfortunately the reality for a lot of trans people who end up here and aren't able to find jobs immediately because, as everyone knows, the market's a little rough right now.
Weird.
If I were in Idaho right now, I would be in prison for using the bathroom as a trans woman. This is an offense which can be punished with a sentence up to life.
No.
This is a genocide.
I can't.
Trans people are fleeing by the tens of thousands to Washington and Seattle because we are being systematically exterminated in states like Idaho.
Stop rejecting us, Mayor Wilson. And I would like to say, Mayor Hall, excuse me, President Hollingsworth, that in Mayor Wilson's last term, let's stand up against her and let's help support our rights.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless. They're being exterminated in Idaho. I must have missed the news stories about transgender people being exterminated in red states. I must have missed the news stories about the bill that says you can send someone to prison for the rest of their lives if they go into the wrong bathroom. Now, I do agree that you shouldn't be in the women's bathroom if you're a man, which that person obviously is, but no one is exterminating them. And the reality is, these are far leftists who come here because they know that they'll get stuff like this. Food, housing, you know how many people here have lived here and paid taxes into our system for years and years and years, and they're struggling to buy food, they're struggling to afford housing. All they got to do, I guess, is put on a skirt and say, hey, will you help me now? And the city of Seattle will gladly dole it out because they passed this unanimously, I believe. Here's the video.
Councilmember Kettle.
Aye.
Council President Hollingsworth.
Yes.
Councilmember Sacco.
Aye.
Insane.
Vice Chair Rivera.
Aye.
Chair Strauss.
Aye.
That's 5 in favor, 0 opposed.
Thank you. Amendment 5 to Council Bill 121-253 is passes and the bill is amended.
So again, it goes to the City Council today at 1:30 p.m. to decide whether to fully adopt it out of that committee. But some of the people, shame on them, who voted yes on that. Joy Hollingsworth, one of the sanest people on the City Council, who has been an advocate for businesses. You don't think in the middle of a budget crisis that money would be better spent propping up businesses that will actually contribute something back into the economy? But it's like, oh my gosh, you can't in the city of Seattle. I mean, Rob Sacco, he's fairly sane. But oh, can't in the city of Seattle push back against the radical alphabet mob because then you'll be labeled a bigot. And all this goes back to May when some of these nonprofits that deal in the LGBTQ plus IA whatever space sent a demand to Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson saying Seattle transgender supporting organizations are holding a rally on proposed emergency refugee declaration. They wanted the mayor to declare a civil emergency regarding the current and incoming transgender refugee crisis. As the national political climate intensifies, new legislation and federal actions targeting transgender people have led to tens of thousands of refugees fleeing to Seattle, which we said at the time, there's literally no evidence. They just made that number up. It says the massive numbers of transgender people fleeing has strained community supports and resources to the extent that significant investment from the city of Seattle is needed to secure long-term viability of these services. They basically were saying, as these LGBTQ organizations, oh, the city of Seattle should not give the trans refugees money. Let's just make up a number that sounds big, tens of thousands, which would be like front page news in every woke newspaper in the country if tens of thousands of trans people were fleeing here. Good God. But without any evidence, they don't want it going to the trans people. They want it coming to their organizations. And then they'll dole it out. They promise to the trans individuals to help with food and clothing and shelter or whatever it is. Spa days. I don't know what trans people need these days. An Olympus spa day, maybe. So no evidence is required. The Seattle City Council members, no evidence was presented to them whatsoever to show that we have anything even close to a trans refugee crisis of any kind. Do I believe you have a few trans people who've come here from red states? 100%. Why should they, though, be treated any differently and given free taxpayer money that they've never, from a system they've never contributed to help them pay their bills and to help them eat? They can go to a food bank like everyone else. You come here and you decided to come here in your car because you want to continue to use the women's bathroom in Idaho and you were sleeping in your car? Okay, we have a system for that already. We have a multi-billion dollar homeless industrial complex. Can't you plug into that? Let's just say that there's some reality to this. Why does a homeless trans person need to be treated different than a homeless veteran or just a homeless drug addict or a regular homeless person? Why should you get special help? We have a massive social safety net for all of these things that you're now saying you need an extra $300,000 for. But I said it goes into this bullying that these far left agitators do. And if they tie it to some sort of race or social justice issue, then, oh my gosh, the city of Seattle just cannot say no to that. So back in May, after they made this request of the mayor to have an emergency declaration, these people who said they came here because they want to feel safe held a march to City Hall where they subsequently tried to make other people feel unsafe.
Gonna let me walk through? You're blocking a public sidewalk, sir. The transgender activists are now marching in front of the Seattle Police Department headquarters, and right across the street is City Hall. They're now marching through downtown Seattle, and you can see these far left activists swarming us, using bullhorns to drown out our coverage of guns with guns.
And if I had to guess how many people in that crowd were actually like trans refugees, two, I don't know. Most of them look like the ordinary culprits. But you're saying, for those who are, that you want to flee to our blue state from your red state because you don't feel safe. So you're going to come here in our blue state and make conservatives like Jonathan Cho feel unsafe and harass. And I can't tell you how many of the far left, anti-ICE, anti-police, anti-Trump agitators who go out and assault people on a regular basis are trans. So they get to come here, make other people feel unsafe, and then they get money from the city of Seattle during a budget crisis. And for what? Like, what exactly? Cam Higby was down at that rally when it happened back in May, and he asked them, okay, what are you fighting for here?
Guys, what is a trans right? What is a trans right?
Basically, you know, just being able to be yourself, being able to be...
Doesn't everybody have the right to do that anyway?
Huh?
Doesn't everybody have the right to do that anyway?
Yeah, I mean, but the thing
is... What are you guys rallying for?
We have people who are out here who are killing us because we are trying to be ourselves, and that's not okay.
Who? Literally, give me one news story where a transgender person has been murdered in Washington State. Or in red states in recent years. I mean, I'm sure if you go back far enough, but murdered for being transgender. For being transgender. So they just make stuff up. And he says, oh, we're here. Trans rights are fighting to be yourselves. As there's a dude walking in the background behind him in the video with his pee-pee hanging out. And with thigh-high rainbow stockings and rainbow angel wings. With his ding-dong on full display. To me, I feel like we're going above and beyond, even throwing out public decency laws to allow you to, quote-unquote, be yourself. And all of this just undermines their argument. They say they came here because this is a they fled here because this is a welcoming place for them. Okay, but you're still demanding more? It's not like welcoming enough? We have to prove we're welcoming by giving you money from our taxpayers during a budget crisis? I just can't even wrap my mind around the stupidity of this. And gosh, dare I give some of these city council members credit for at times being reasonable, and then they vote for something like this? And remember, Alexis Mercedes Rink, she said that she didn't think the $300,000 was enough, even though they have no data, zero. Zero data to tell them how many quote-unquote trans refugees have fled specifically to a Seattle zip code. Specifically, they have nothing. And so I don't even know, is it one? Is it one and you're just going to give them $300,000? But you're giving them to these nonprofits. Those nonprofits are just going to soak up that money, as all the woke nonprofits do. They're not going to help these people. Just like your homeless nonprofits don't help people and they just absorb all of the money. They're just going to steal it, okay? They're just going to steal it. Outrageous. And the city of Seattle needs to be asked that exact question, which we intend to do. Show me the data that you are using to justify this assertion that we need $300,000 to help trans refugees. Break that money down for me. Break that spending down for me. What about the people who are targeted? Like me, like Cho, like our friend Ari, the detransitioner. What about for those of us who are targeted and assaulted by trans people? Harassed, bullied, screamed at, doxxed. What do we get? Do we get some money from you because the trans refugees are harassing us? Seattle is a laughingstock. An absolute, think about all the things the city needs to spend money on. Empty storefronts, 37% vacancy rate in downtown Seattle for businesses. Any sane-minded person would be say, gee, maybe that money is better spent propping up the business community right now. Lowest number of police officers per capita of any state in the nation. Seattle's like 700 officers short. Gee, maybe that money is better spent helping law enforcement. Just had a gang-related mass shooting. Don't even have enough officers. We don't even know where the suspect is. We don't even know what he looks like. We know nothing. Maybe that money would be better spent, I don't know, propping back up and restarting the gang unit. And we can actually save lives. No, people show up outside City Hall with thigh-high rainbow stockings and their ding-dong hanging out. And you say, okay, we'll give you money. Because we are the stupidest city on the planet. The stupidest city on the planet. You know what, Nicole? I'm making the executive decision right now. I'm going to the city council meeting. Even if we have to cut the show short today.
Okay.
I think everybody will be fine with that. Mama's, okay. The queen turf is coming, okay? And I'm going to go to the city council meeting. It's at 1:30, give or take. I'll make it. It'll be fine.
Okay.
I don't think there's one person in our live chat who would object to me cutting the show a tiny bit short to go to this ridiculous meeting.
I can't
tolerate it anymore. It's just outrageous. All right. Well, while Seattle is pissing away money on nonsense, the feds are coming in to help Seattle fund things that really matter. We'll talk about that next. First, there's been a lot of reports lately about fraudulent contractors ripping off homeowners for a variety of things. But one of the frequent, and actually, can I say this? Yeah. Remember the judge that got mad at the guy for saying gypsy?
Yeah.
Isn't this a frequent gypsy scam? It is, right? Right? It's like a gypsy scam. The fake contractor thing, like fake drive, you know, oh, come in, do a driveway, do a rooftop. Am I thinking about another ethnic class of people? I just figured I'd use that phrase today since the judge doesn't like it. Somebody will tell me.
Figure out.
I think it is the gypsies. I think it is the gypsies. Anyway, there's a bunch of fraudulent. The AG's office even warned about this. It's been on the news. Fraudulent scams. So don't do that to yourself. Obviously, you want to use a reputable company. I recommend our friends at Valentine Roofing, 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. It's so important to know the company coming to your home. I trust Valentine with my home. You can trust them too. Every customer can expect the Valentine experience: seamless communication, meticulous cleanup, extra mile service. So if you think your roof is on its last legs, if you want to beat the rain, beat the mad rush, Valentine Roofing now offering priority scheduling for your roof replacement. That means when you call Valentine Roofing today, they can get your job started within 3 weeks of signing an agreement. And they make the process so simple for you. You can expect an estimate with transparent pricing, options that fit your needs in about an hour. Since 2008, thousands of Western Washington homeowners have chosen Valentine for their roofing needs, and you can trust them too. Call 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. Make sure to tell them that you heard about them right here on Undivided with me, Brandi Cruz. All right, as I mentioned, you have the city of Seattle in a budget crisis, spending $300,000 to help trans refugees without any sort of evidence as to the number of trans refugees that have actually fled to the city of Seattle from red states that need some sort of financial assistance. And while they're spending money on that, rather than more important things like our public safety crisis, the federal government is stepping in to award the Seattle Police Department money to help with the public safety crisis. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. So the Department of Justice awarding more than $8 million in public safety grants to agencies across the state to help with very specific needs. In some instances, equipment, training, personnel, school safety officers. So basically, local police departments could apply for this grant, which is named after a fallen officer, and can get funds. So more than $8 million total for the state of Washington. Here's a breakdown that the DOJ provided with just a couple of the different things that money was dedicated to. So Seattle Police Department surrounding jurisdictions got $800,000 for programs and equipment. Includes overtime, improved technology systems. Tacoma and Pierce County got about $400,000. for essentially a program to reduce young adult violence, so like gang violence, right? Longview, I like this one given what's happened in Longview recently, support their school resource officer program. Yeah, given the fact that you have a superintendent there who likes to try to hide information from police about sexual assault investigations, maybe bolstering the Longview school superintendent or the Longview school resource officer program would be a good idea. I won't read through all of these, but let's just pick my favorite city. Marysville, there it is, for the purchase of tactical emergency medical equipment. Bellingham, bring back the motorcycle traffic unit, which was closed due to COVID. So I think that's a really good use of federal funding to be able to help our local law enforcement agencies, who are not only short-staffed, but are also very, a lot of the cities are dealing with budget crises and they just don't have the money. Neil Floyd, the first assistant United States attorney, so top prosecutor in Seattle, put out a statement saying it can be highly competitive to get these federal funds. I congratulate the cities and counties that developed proposals that were chosen for grants. We know that a strong partnership with state and local law enforcement is crucial to federal efforts to protect our community. And this, of course, comes at a time when state funding for local law enforcement has been either non-existent or very slow to roll out. You'll, of course, recall Governor Bob Ferguson when he was back on the campaign trail, all of a sudden saying he cared about public safety and said, you know, I'm going to get $100 million to hire more cops. And they ended up passing that. And he's bragged about this program a lot, like at the Bite of Seattle shooting a couple weeks ago.
In legislation, my first year as governor, we put into our budget a $100 million grant program for local jurisdictions to get more law enforcement officers, which is something I support as part of my campaign for governor. That legislation got through, and now those dollars are starting to flow to local jurisdictions.
Yeah, but as you know, there were so many hurdles put on that money by Democrats in Olympia that a year went by and not a single new police officer had been hired. And I think it took until March. Yeah, this is from the State Standard. First grants awarded under Washington's new $100 million police hiring program. So Kent and Black Diamond were the first police departments to receive any of that $100 million. And it took more than a year to do it. A lot of agencies have complained about the very slow rollout and all of the different hurdles required to get that money. And so in our state, where we should have the fundamental concern for our law enforcement, we underfund them, I mean, after the whole police defunding movement. And then if they want to get funding, they have to jump over all these hurdles in order to get it. And then you got the feds coming in and saying, hey, we'd love to help you out, bolster your school resource program. We'd love to help bolster your gang unit. Yes, we'd love to help you with new technology to make up for the fact that you don't have as many police officers. I mean, and this whole idea, when I'm saying that Democrats made it difficult to be able to get this money, they passed it and wanted to take credit for it and then made all these law enforcement agencies and continue to make them jump over hoops. Don't take my word for it. Here's, remember, State Rep Natasha Hill talking about this very thing.
What we did on that $100 million that Bob Ferguson shoved down our throats.
They don't even want it.
Play nice with the opposition, which is why I say take such a big issue with playing nice with the opposition. I'm not trying to move toward fascism. If they want to hold shit down with fascism and salute Nazis, that's not, there's no center anymore. I need more progressives in the House so we don't have to take votes that we don't want to take. So I can be honest, not a vote I wanted to take, took it for the team. But we put guardrails around it. So what can you use it for? You have to do all this public health and safety stuff. You have to raise taxes in your community. You're not just getting free money from the government. We're going to monitor and regulate it, law enforcement. Why? Because we know your history is slave patrols.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we attach. That's the level of crazy we attach to police funding in our own state. So thank God for the feds. I almost think we don't deserve it, frankly, and that some of these police departments that have gone or are governed by mayors who are cuckoo crazy should have to match the funds or something like that. But I don't want officers to be punished. I don't want law-abiding citizens to be punished for the insanity of the Democratic Party in Washington state. And I don't know how long it'll take for us to recover from police defunding. So yeah, we'll take all the federal funds we can get. That segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. All right, an update in the Olympus Spa case. It could be heading to the United States Supreme Court. So you will recall the background of this case. A dude walks into Olympus Spa and wants to be able to use the women's only nude spa. It's like you can go in there as a chick and be naked and feel comfortable. But then this man with a you know, fully intact, wanted to go in and use it. This was in 2020. The spa said no. The nude female spaces, which allow even girls as young as 13 to come with their moms, are just for women. And so he filed a complaint with the Washington State Human Rights Commission. The commission decided that the spa was in violation of the state's public accommodation laws. And so they said, no, you're wrong for this. They said, in fact, the spa, we're going to send this case to the attorney general's office, and you have to change your policies and allow nude men in with the women, or we're going to put you out of business. Just insane. And then the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit dismissed. So the spa ended up suing over it. And the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit ended up dismissing the case. They ruled against the spa, which is quite frustrating. And Nicole, this judge soundbite we have here, is that a Ninth Circuit judge? Here you go.
Only women, biological women, or transgender women who have had bottom surgery could enter the spa.
Right. So that's like the Supreme Court said in Fair, if you have a law that says white applicants only, this is biological women entrance only. It seems to me they're quite parallel there. And you can't have white people only can come into my restaurant.
Okay. So not the same, but of course, we know that they don't make any sense in the Ninth Circuit. So now the Alliance Defending Freedom has just filed a new case. They're asking for the United States Supreme Court to review all this, to take it up, to protect female spaces. I think this is a great time to do it. It's an issue, certainly, that would be wide-ranging when they issue a ruling. Those are the sorts of cases that SCOTUS likes to take up. And so we'll see if they do it. They'll, you know, probably decide this coming year whether they should take the case. And then we'll see. But it's just outrageous. It's like, you know how many, look, and it has to be a nude spa, right? There's a lot of spas you go to where you can go do your spa thing. Like, you can go do your spa thing, get a massage, whatever it is, and you don't have to be in a space where most women are naked. But it's like they want to force themselves into those spaces. It's like they want to force the discomfort. Now, I'm not going to say it's always about, like, sexual gratification. I don't know this person. But I do know that they're a man, and I do know that it's perfectly acceptable for women to expect, entering a women's only spa, that there's not going to be any penises around them. I've said it on the show a million times. I should never have to inadvertently encounter any man's genitalia besides my husband's. Like, why is that being forced on us? Why are we being, like, tricked and trapped into seeing other man's junk? It's outrageous. So hopefully SCOTUS takes this, and hopefully they rule the way that I think that they'll rule. All right, we'll get to our segment Unbelievable coming up next. First, a lot of investors focused on AI, crypto, tech. The real story, though, is happening somewhere else, in energy. Our friend Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital can walk you through how energy can be impacting your retirement portfolio. And it's really just about getting a second opinion with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Bulwark Capital is focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So why not get that second opinion? Doesn't cost a thing. Schedule your Know Your Risk portfolio review today at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Plus, unlike other wealth management firms, you can get market updates every day from Zach Abraham on his Know Your Risk podcast YouTube channel. All across social media platforms, just search Know Your Risk Podcast. All right, and with that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Unbelievable in a good way today. Unbelievable in a good way. Governor Bob Ferguson of Washington State continues to heap praise onto the Trump administration for their help in responding to the Eastern Washington wildfires. Here's Governor Ferguson.
I think I mentioned earlier how appreciative I am that the federal government has responded quickly is not the word. I mean, they've just been on it. I've had proactive outreach from multiple cabinet members to ask how they can help. And I'm, you know, that means a lot to us in a really challenging time. We especially appreciate the administration moving so quickly to grant our emergency declaration request. We also appreciate Secretary Kennedy last week granting our request for a public health emergency for these areas.
Yeah, and he said the one thing they still need that they'd like from the Trump administration, maybe it's why he's being so gracious to a man he's been definitely not gracious to, is they need a major disaster declaration.
We deeply appreciate that when we had the historic floods last year, that the federal government granted our request for a major disaster declaration. I'm very aware that these major disaster declarations are not always granted. And so we are determined to make our case as compelling as possible.
And I think that's probably a no-brainer, right? I mean, the devastation from the fires, the arson fire in Spokane is just unlike anything that we have seen. Now, he also had sent the Trump administration a letter thanking them for their help and inviting President Trump to Spokane to tour the damage. I don't know if President Trump is watching the show today. He usually does, right? I like to think he does. He needs to come to Washington State. I mean, one, you know, when he was there in the aftermath of the California wildfires, he was able to actually really help people and push back against slow local government and state government in California. I think that was a major moment for him. But I am looking at this politically. And I do think Trump is an empathetic person. But we live in a state where people just think he is the devil himself. And so I think going and being there with Bob Ferguson, having a cordial exchange and seeing the devastation firsthand and, you know, speaking to people and speaking to victims and offering any assistance he can, I think it might help to demystify Trump a little bit in the eyes of Washingtonians who have been just absolutely brainwashed to hate him. So I actually think, especially leading up to the midterms, and I'm not saying that politics is the only reason he should come, but leading up to the midterms, I think it would be a fantastic idea for President Trump to come out and to tour that damage and to talk about the need for states like ours, frankly, to better manage their forests. Not that that would have helped in this situation, per se, because this was a mostly, you know, residential area. It was started by a felon. And so I'm not sure that that would have done anything here, but we definitely need to make sure we're better managing our forests because we've had some doozy wildfires across the state this year. So, but that's really nice of Bob. That's really nice of Bob. He might want something and that's why he's being nice, but that's okay. Aren't we always all just nicer when we want something? All right, let's get to some national news and then we'll get to our daily subscriber show poll. All right, so through an executive order, President Trump is revising vaccine guidelines for children. This from the AP. Trump signs order calling for spacing out childhood vaccines against medical group guidance. And I just love how the AP writes these freaking stories. President Trump on Monday signed an executive order calling for revamped childhood vaccine recommendations that promote his long-held but discredited theory that childhood shots should be spaced out into separate medical visits. Okay, first of all, the AP, they're never going to understand. After COVID, and how many things and disproving, you know, conspiracy, things you called conspiracies that turned out to be correct, you do not have a leg to stand on to write a sentence like that, to say, oh, Trump has a discredited theory on vaccines. You know how many theories he had on COVID that you called discredited or bogus or conspiratorial? So it's just like, it might be discredited. I'm not 100% sure, frankly, but I'm not going to believe anything the AP says about it. That's for damn sure. So they've almost rendered themselves completely useless as a news organization for an entire swath of Americans on anything related to vaccines. So the order says that they want to separate the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine into three different single disease shots, administer all childhood immunizations at separate appointments whenever possible, directs the nation's health department to improve research on vaccines, which are already extensively studied, the AP says. It says, okay, but why is it a problem if you want to improve research on anything? The AP just can't tolerate that. Oh, it's already extensively studied. Okay. And present a plan to offer separate measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines for children, since that's not currently an option in the United States. And here's Trump talking about wanting to separate that vaccine into three doses.
Effective immediately, my administration is recognizing gold standard childhood vaccine recommendations for only 11 core vaccinations against the most serious and dangerous diseases, along with the MMR, which hopefully will be split up. You have the MMR. We want it in three separate vaccinations given at separate times. Together, there could be a possibility they're quite lethal. And separately, it looks like they are not at all lethal, but just very effective. So the MMR, we want to have separate visits, separate times.
Yeah, and I'm sure parents are going to have differing thoughts about that. Sometimes it might be nice, given where the, you know, depending on where the evidence is. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm an expert in vaccines by any stretch of the imagination. But I can't see for some parents how, like, let's just get that out of the way. Like, just, I don't want to come back and do this a million times. But if there's evidence that it's safer to do it in three different doses, I mean, why not have that be an option? But all of this just to say, and there's a lot of other headlines coming out about Fauci and what he did or did not know about vaccines and the impact on pregnant women and all this stuff. And there's some misinformation out there, but there's a lot of dueling narratives. And I think that's really born out of the inability and unwillingness to trust medical professionals anymore, or to trust politicians when they're talking about anything related to medicine because of the COVID era. And who did that? Who instilled that distrust in us? People like Anthony Fauci. People like Democrats who kept us on lockdown for like 975 days and told us trust the science, and that we could walk into a restaurant with a mask on, sit there, eat without a mask on, and then get up, put it back on, and leave, and that somehow would help us. It's like, it doesn't surprise me that there's all these competing narratives out there about vaccines. I asked you in our daily subscriber show poll whether the COVID era made you more skeptical of vaccines in general. Yes or no? To me, this is a 100% yes. Yeah. 100%. Frankly, even like flu, you know, when you go to the pharmacy, like, oh, do you want your flu vaccine? Usually I would have said yes. Like, no. And I know that maybe that's not the right thing to do. I'm being honest about how I feel. I just feel duped.
No, Nicole, I'm with you. Yes, it absolutely or no. Yeah. Made me more skeptical.
And I mean, my family, like I don't remember getting vaccines as a kid. I don't. We were kind of an off the reservation sort of family. I'm sure I had to get some legally.
Before you.
I mean, obviously,
remember.
I don't remember it as a little infant, mm-hmm. but 85% of you said yes. Matt said the same thing I did. I don't even get the flu vaccine anymore. Theodore says, I'm definitely not anti-vaccine as they have greatly improved humanity, but the COVID era has absolutely made me question the ones pushed, especially on children, as my wife and I just had a baby. Miss D said, I voted no as I get violently sick, or I got violently sick after receiving my first flu shot my first year of teaching. I never got another one. So you were already skeptical. You didn't need COVID to make you skeptical. Josiah says, I don't think vaccines themselves are a problem. Vaccines for things like whooping cough, smallpox, and other really serious diseases make total sense and have decades of evidence to show they work. My main issue is the chronic dishonesty coming from the CDC and pharmaceutical companies. And that's why, like, if the media's goal was really to get people to trust good, available science, they would be running stories about the Fauci diaries.
Right.
Because then they would have to come back and say, you know what? Fauci was wrong. We put our faith in him. We were wrong. And if they don't do that, then you can't repair trust that has been broken if you're not willing to take the steps to repair that trust. And the media has not shown that willingness at all.
And when you're just told you're crazy, instead of saying, wow, that's an interesting observation, like, yes, even the childhood vaccine, yeah, leading to autism, it's either you're crazy, that's not true, or, you know, it absolutely is true,
right,
from the side that's trying to say that there's some difference that in their child that happened in that time frame. So why don't you do some work on this? Show us the research that says an alternative, like there's something alternative that might have caused that. But these people are having, you know, they have kids and they have physical proof of something changed. So give us another alternative instead of just calling them crazy. Like, right. Because I feel like that's what happens.
And the media crazy doesn't care anymore. And this stopped a long time ago. They don't feel like they have to earn people's trust. Mm-hmm. They feel like, oh, I already have the trust because I'm the press. You know, I'm the fourth estate. And so you just should trust me. It's right. Like, no, you have to earn it. And now you have to re-earn it and rebuild it if it was even there in the first place. And yeah, show some, like, I mean, when my mom got the vaccine, the first dose, for COVID, she passed out in the bathroom, mm-hmm, hit her head. And she woke up to vomit everywhere and a big goose egg on her head. And she was still convinced to go back and get the second dose. And I'm just like, holy smokes. Well, she's like, oh no, it's no big deal. I'm like, wait, what?
Myocarditis, to just say that that's not a thing.
Right.
Or to just say that, oh, that was our
conspiracy.
No, it's obviously a thing. Just tell us that the benefits outweigh the risk, or yeah, that it looks like what, but they can't admit anything. Right. They can't say we're looking into that. There's an obvious connection, or even with the miscarriages.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, but there is a weird fertility issue that has been happening since COVID. Well, so and I don't know where it's from, but tell me that you're researching it.
And the fact that Coach Fauci was saying certain things behind the scenes that then they were hiding from the public, concerns would come up, like around, you know, miscarriages in the first trimester, and then they wouldn't share that with the public. No. It's like in that period of time, we're all figuring it out together, right? This is all I want from elected officials. We're all figuring this out together. We're going to share information as it becomes available. If we find out that information is not accurate, we're going to come out and correct it. Right. We're going to take the steps we think are best in the moment, but we could end up being wrong. And if we're wrong, we'll tell you we're wrong and we'll try to make it right. But they couldn't do that. They had no humility, no willingness to admit they were wrong.
Like you said, there's a lot of kind of conflicting information. But if there were any red flags, which one of those texts kind of says that there's kind of some sort of red flag, if there were any red flags, just come out and say, hey, like, we acknowledge that this is a maybe and we're looking into it.
That's we're getting reports of this.
But don't come out and say there's absolutely no risk, because that is ridiculous.
Criminals. I mean, it's absolutely. And if the goal is to end vaccine hesitancy, yeah, you set it back like 30 years.
Yeah.
You set it back 30 years. Yeah. Absolutely outrageous.
It is crazy.
All right. Massachusetts. So you guys know I'm, as much as you always yell at me whenever I say this, I'm pro-choice. I've always been pro-choice up to 21 weeks, essentially. So I'm okay with Washington State's law as it exists. But even as someone who has always been pro-choice, I am vehemently opposed to laws like Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey just signed, which will allow abortions up to birth. They become the 10th state in the nation to remove gestational age limits on abortions. The bill is scheduled to take effect in 90 days. Previously, the state law was similar to ours. So they prohibited abortions after 24 weeks, with some exceptions. The governor framed the legislation as a shield against national efforts under President Trump and Republicans to roll back abortion protections following the court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. Have you heard the Trump administration really talking about abortion at all lately? Am I missing something?
No,
after Roe v. Wade? And why would that be? It's like, okay, so now the children who are about to be born have to pay the price, like, for your political grandstanding? And I know what the answer always is that, like, oh, that's very rare for a woman to abort a child in the third trimester. And for the sake of this conversation, I'm not talking about, like, life of the mother. I think when you get that far along, I'm going to just figure this all out in my mind as I go. For rape and incest, right, which are the other examples given, to me, you should have been able to make a decision long before the third trimester, frankly. And so I would not be in favor of a third trimester abortion because of rape and incest. By that time, you've had a long time to try to sort out if it's the right thing for you or not. Now, life of the mother, I understand that is a much different conversation. Like, will the mother survive if you give birth to that child? Totally different conversation. But why then, if you're saying, oh, it's so rare, this never happens, why do you have to have a law that allows for it? Because to me, that's just straight up murder at that point. And then and this is the weirdest part to me. Again, even as someone who's pro-choice, it gives me, it hurts my heart to watch them clapping and happy and smiling as it's signed. What are you smiling about? That is so weird to me. And I know you differ from me on abortion, Nicole, but
well, I don't know, because I think up to the fetal viability, and I mean, I think we should deter people from it more, because I think it shouldn't be a form of birth control. But I mean, when there's a medical reason for it, then it's an understandable situation I don't want to be in. But this is disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
And even if it was life of the mother, then you can take the baby early, fine, like, you know, early, and hopefully it survives. Give it a chance. This is absolutely
disgusting. And this is the sort of thing that, for people who are somewhere in the middle or who don't identify with a party, that this is like, that is a very extremist position. You want to talk about extreme right positions on abortion? That is a very extremist position on the left, to want to allow abortions up to birth really for any reason except life of the mother is the only possible reason I can think of.
But even so, that baby's got to come out somehow. So you're just killing it before it comes back out. Or...
Well, I'm not 100% sure how the medical works on that. I get what you're saying.
Like I said, give but it like, a chance. So right. I'm just saying, don't yes. kill it while it's in there.
I like, see what give you're it saying. A chance. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're like, about to give birth or you're, mm-hmm. you know, 2 days out from your due date and you're like, let's end it. That obviously is something that should never, ever happen, even if the it's a good point. Well taken. Even if the life of the mother is in jeopardy, well, that baby's coming out.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean,
it doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, I'm not going to get into the gross details mm-hmm. of that, but it's just outrageous. I mean, I don't know. It's just like you respond to what you see as an extremist policy with your own brand of extremism. Wild.
It is.
Wild. All right. We'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. I'm doing pretty good getting out of here to try to get to the city council meeting, talking a little fast. I call it Ben Shapiro-ing. He is a fast talker.
That's true.
He's a very fast talker. I think when I listen to his show, I almost have to put it on like the turtle mode.
Yeah.
his mind is just cooking. All right. If you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, you should be a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, wonderful sponsors of our show for several years now. And they can help out landlords, whether you got one unit or a dozen units. They don't deal with the big guys, but if you are, you know, have a investment property for retirement or a handful of them, really being a member of RHA is important for a couple of reasons. They can advocate on your behalf, help you stay up to date with changing rules and regulations, but they're also advocating more widely for private property rights, taking on important legal challenges, et cetera. And so being a member helps support that work as well. So rhawa.org, while you're on their website, check out any events they have coming up. I'll be speaking at one for them in the fall on how the media covers housing policy. I always have a good time at their events, so I'd love to see you there. rhawa.org, rhawa.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right, let's get to comments from the live stream, shall we? Oh, my sister wrote in here. Brandy, we were fully unvaxxed kids. Mom and dad had to fight for us to stay in school over it. I think I do remember that.
So you still haven't had the MMR?
I don't know.
Oh.
I couldn't tell you.
Wow. I'm curious.
I know I had to get a ton of vaccines because I was going to go to Afghanistan at some point to do some war coverage while I was at Fox 13. It was like for a unit that was deploying from our state, I was going to go with them. And I don't remember why that broke down, but I went to the doctor. I was like, they were told, you know, you're going to have to get a ton of vaccines for this trip. And so I got a bunch of bizarre ones that I would like never need because, and I didn't end up going, but I don't know what I got when I was a kid. Okay. All right. On the Seattle Council voting on $300,000 for trans refugees, De Pluribus says, if you build it, they will come. Exactly.
It's true.
True.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you give them something, there's going to be more. So I don't get it. Is that who we want in the city? Is that what we're like? I mean, you don't want business. You want a bunch of trans people?
Yes,
like,
Nicole.
I know. That's yes. what they're saying.
And then pretty soon they'll be giving the trans people the empty storefronts downtown.
It's just like, you know. Feeding birds. If you put some bait out or put some seed out,
that is
flock.
A really good analogy. Yeah. That's what we do with the drug addicts. Oh, come uh-huh. do your drugs here. We'll give you the needles and everything you need to get high. Why are there so many drug addicts here? Right. It's just like, that is the best analogy, Nicole. If you're feeding the birds, they're going to come.
Yeah.
So it's like, we got money for the trans. Now they're going to flock in.
Right. And so then like it will never be enough money.
Right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And they'll continue to get angrier and more vicious.
Yeah.
Because and then, they are a vicious crew. Let me tell you.
Not all of them, but yes, there is definitely a problem going on with aggression.
I told the story last night, but I went to dinner last night in downtown Seattle on the water with some family from Texas.
Okay.
And my cousin was looking out at the view and she was like, I can't believe you can look at it anytime you want. And I was like, yeah, but look that way. And there's five trans guys in dresses that I'm going to have to house soon. So that's the cost.
I got to house and feed.
So yes. This comes at this cost.
We get the mountains, but I have to house and feed transgender yes. people. Maybe it's not a good idea for me to go to this council meeting. But as always,
dinner.
I am nothing but a consummate professional when I go to do my job at City Hall.
It is crazy how many walk by you, though. I mean, that was a thing.
I know. I know. Jesse says, essential needs? Does that mean a psychiatrist? Don't we all need a psychiatrist? Yeah. Frankly, I could use one, too.
Yeah, that I'd actually pay for. Yeah, <it's laughs> you can say that's what the fund's for.
Nicole's on it today. Yeah, if you're telling me that $300K
is going towards some sort of therapy,
I'll take it out of my own pocket today. Mm-hmm. All right, Jeffrey?
$300,000 for new funding for something when you're already in a deficit. Yeah, yes, exactly. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Lockman, that will mean that people who feel disenfranchised in other parts of the country will come here just like the homeless to get a free handout. Yeah.
Some random user.
Literally, at user. Okay.
Is this really real? I can't believe this is happening. A trans refugee crisis over a real refugee crisis. Bonkers. S-word. A complete train wreck.
Yeah. JJ Beck, I cannot believe you're going to make me watch a Seattle City Council meeting, but I wouldn't miss this for all the tea in China. Although I may have to start day drinking to get through it. Yes. I'll try to wave on the camera. All right. On the feds giving Washington money to fight crime.
John Jacobson says, if you were a cop, would you want to work in this
quagmire?
Quagmire.
Wow. Whenever I think of quagmire, I think of American Dad.
American Dad?
His name's Quagmire, right? He's like the little perverted character named Quagmire. Or is this something similar sounding?
I mean, I wouldn't doubt, yeah.
Anyway, you look that up. I'll keep reading comments. On the Korean spa case, Courtly James says, I have the right to refuse service to anybody. You would think, but no. Chatbox, you get more of what you tolerate. Intolerance will be the solution. Governor Ferguson giving Trump's cabinet big praise. Underground Fly says, we all knew Fergie was in love with Trump.
Family Guy.
Yeah.
And it means Family Guy, Money Land. It pretty much means quicksand. That's pretty much what it means.
Well, a quagmire is like a situation that's difficult to get out of.
Right. But technically, it's a swampy, spongy bod or mud pit.
Oh, okay. It wasn't American Dad. Sorry. Yeah, Family Guy.
Quagmire. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, Sergeant Pickles, $4.99 super chat. Long time no see, friends. Happy to announce the birth of our fourth child. Keep the faith and God bless. Congratulations, Sergeant Pickles. That is awesome. I'm glad that's why you've been absent from the live chat.
Yeah, for something allowed, good like I suppose.
That. Approved. All right, Nicole, thank you. We'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, a lot of homes on the market right now because, you know, as many trans refugees as we have moving into the state, they're not buying homes. And people who are contributors to society who have homes are moving out of the state. So therefore, you have a lot of homes on the market. I don't know if Wes wants me to introduce his commercials like that, but that's what we're going to do. Wes Jones is the guy you want to reach out to if you're thinking about selling your home, really for any reason. I also know that he works well with people who are thinking about selling rental properties, which has been happening quite a bit lately. So go to sellwithwes.com. Just reach out to him and say, hey, I heard about you on Brandy's show. Can you give me a lay of the land? He'll give you a free market analysis and just sort of set your expectations for how the market is performing in your area, how much you can expect to get for your home, what you might need to do to get that value out of your home. And then he'll take it from there. Wes and his team are fantastic. They have a great, great marketing team, and that's key to make listings stand out right now in a crowded field. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. And with that, let's get to really quick. Yeah.
Super chat from Sun Miller T. Brandy, security or psychologist? $100.
Oh, nice. Oh, thank you. Security or psychologist? Which one do I want? Let me mull that over, okay? I've been taking my gun lessons at security.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I gotta say, I might not need a security guard anymore pretty soon.
Well, let's still...
I'm doing pretty well.
You need somebody keeping an eye out when you're speaking.
Yeah, I'm gonna show videos soon of my progression. I just didn't want to put them out until like I got better, you know, because the first videos were pretty rough, I'm not gonna lie. But Keith, who's my instructor, has just been fantastic. Anyway... Let's get to our closing sanity check. Okay, Democratic Socialists of America National Political Committee member Frances Gill made the very bad decision of doing a news interview over the weekend with CBS Los Angeles, where she was asked to explain the DSA's platform on abolishing the police and abolishing prisons.
What we really want to see is a horizon where folks are not reliant on armed enforcement to meet our public safety needs.
Right. But mm-hmm. It says defund police on the website. That's your goal. And also to get rid of prisons and jails, correct?
Yes.
So if my daughter is assaulted and raped, is there any agency that would seek to find her assailant and bring him to justice?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
What would
absolutely.
It be if not police? And where would he be if not a jail?
So I guess I really want to avoid getting kind of caught into these hypotheticals
sure
and talk
do.
More about the reality that we're actually facing right now, which is that we're spending in absolutely outrageous amounts of money on police and policing, and we're not spending money on things that actually make people safe and feel safe.
Yeah, no, police and policing make me feel safe. I'd like to keep spending money on that. Thank you. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Finishing up a couple minutes early so I can jet down to City Hall. That was my attempt at sound effects. I don't know if it was good. It just was. I'm going to cover this vote on the trans refugee crisis. Should be fun. Wish me luck. Come home in one piece, hopefully. If you'd like to support our show, it is made possible by our generous paid subscribers, some of whom have now been funding our show for 5 years. We have some OGs still in the OG club and funding our show for 5 years with $5, their hard-earned money every single month, and we do appreciate you. If you'd like to be appreciated by us even more than you already are, go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, click on the banner that says support the show. See you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon, where I shall have an extended rant about a new TV show that takes trash TV way too far. See you then.